America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a good Wednesday morning. Oh, good night. We had a lot of rain in Texarkana yesterday, and there's rain set for today. And good news, Thursday is supposed to be dry and clear, and I'm looking forward to that. For those of us who love to play golf, the rain is not. The rain's nice at night, but it's nice. It's nice during the day for it to be sunny and pleasant, so that we can play well. Today we want to welcome to the program. Let me just back up here. So I was thinking for this Sunday coming up, June 28th. It's the Sunday before July 4th. July 4th is a big day in America because it is the 250th birthday of our great nation. And so I was thinking some months ago, I said, who would be good to have come to First Baptist Texarkana for that day of celebration? And my mind thought of my friend Todd Starnes. Todd is a bold voice for conservative values. He's an award-winning journalist, a best-selling author, a radio host, the driving force behind the Todd Starnes show on Newsmax. And I got to know Todd some years ago and just appreciate him and the stand that he takes. So it is a joy for me to welcome to the program this morning my friend Todd Starnes. Todd, welcome.
Jeff, thank you. Great to be with you this morning.
Well, I really appreciate you doing this, Todd. I know you're a busy guy, and so I want to start right off the bat. How is your health? Because I know you had a health scare some months ago.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I guess I should really apologize to the AFR audience because I may have put a lot of us in grave danger. It turns out that gravy is not a lubricant for your veins, your arteries. After all, who knew? But fortunately, the doctors at Baptist East in Memphis got me unclogged, and I am on the road to recovery, Jeff.
Well, that is good, Todd, because I was getting a little nervous. I was thinking, okay, I hope Todd's going to be hitting on all eight by when June 28th rolls around.
By the way, pork is not the other white meat as well. I learned a lot at Baptist East, I'll tell you, Jeff.
So has this changed your diet?
Unfortunately, it has, and that's difficult because, you know, I live in Memphis, which is my hometown, and you can't go a quarter mile without running into a barbecue joint. So it's been a little difficult, but I am on the road to recovery, slimming down a little bit and doing some things called exercise.
Yes.
And the doctors say I should be in good shape, but I got to give a shout out to my people, our people, Jeff, the Baptist over at Baptist Memorial. They do a pretty darn good job.
Well, Todd, I remember when you were at Fox News, I had gotten invited to that historic event with Donald Trump before his first run for president back in 2016. And you know, it didn't work out, but you were going to give me a tour of Fox News, and you told me that you would, you know, I guess you would exercise at Central Park, walk around Central Park, and that you quite a different life living in New York versus living in Memphis.
Well, it's actually safer in New York City, yes. But thanks to President Trump, you know, the president's a good friend, and he comes on the radio show quite a bit. And gosh, it was about a year or so ago, And he was talking about how things had been so much better in Washington since he had dispatched the National Guard. And I said, Mr. President, I got a little bold. I said, Mr. President, that's all good. But what about Memphis, Tennessee? We are the deadliest, most dangerous city in America. How about sending some help down our way? He was not aware of the problems in Memphis, so he promised he would look into it. A couple of weeks later, I got a call from the White House. They said, can you be here? The president is signing the order, sending the National Guard, and the president would like you in the Oval. And sure enough, the president sent the National Guard down. And I got to tell you, it's like living in a brand new city.
Oh, wow. So just police presence, or are they just going after gangbangers, or what are they doing?
Yeah, all of the above. So far, over 10,000 very bad thugs have been taken off the streets of Memphis. And it really was just a matter of enforcing the law and going after the bad guys. You know, another big issue we have here is the interstate system, where they use that, the thugs and their Dodge Chargers, they use that as a racetrack. And I am not kidding. You'll find people going 120 miles an hour on I-240. That's the loop around Memphis. Well, they sent in the Tennessee Highway Patrol, and they put a stop to that pretty quickly as well.
Well, that's good. Todd, I had a friend of mine that was teaching at Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary, which is across the street from Bellevue Baptist Church. And he said he just couldn't stay there. He has two little kids, and he said it just wasn't safe for my family, even for my wife, to take my kids to the grocery store.
And again, one of the challenges, by the way, Mid-America has actually moved. They've moved out farther into the burbs, so they're no longer across from Bellevue. And that was one of the big reasons why, is the you know, the crime and the safety issues. And they're just wonderful people over at Mid-America. And my understanding is they're thriving in their new location in the safe suburbs.
Yes, that's very good. Okay, so at the top of the hour, Todd, AFN News was telling us about what happened in New York. You had three anti-capitalism, anti-Trump, anti-law enforcement, anti-Israel, just flat-out socialist candidates that win and won their primaries. What does that say about New York?
Well, I think the question we need to be asking is, what does it say about America? My chief political strategist, a guy by the name of Joshua Jones, was on our show yesterday, and he nailed this. He predicted it would be a sweep of the socialists in New York City. And I'm not terribly surprised. I think you have to go all the way back to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, and her win for Congress. And at the time, I said on the radio, pay very close attention to what's about to happen to the Democrat Party. This is going to be the start of their version of the Tea Party moment, where the takeover of the Democrat Party was about to commence. Mm-hmm. And the reason I said that, Jeff, is because we have seen over the years a radicalization of our nation's education system. And it's not just in college anymore. This goes all the way down to preschool. And so now what we are watching are all of these young people now coming of age, these young people that have been radicalized in our nation's taxpayer-funded education system. And these people, they hate America. They hate the wealthy. They hate anybody who has more money than they have, mm-hmm. and they want payback. They hate our way of life, Jeff. And I know it's hard for people to understand that, but let me explain what happened in New York City yesterday. You had far-left Democrats beaten by even Democrats further to the left. Dan Goldman, for example, two incumbent congressmen, Democrat congressmen, went down in defeat last night, including Dan Goldman. And Goldman actually is a radical leftist, but his big issue was he was pro-Israel. And just the other day, over the weekend, he and his 7-year-old daughter, are you ready for this, Jeff, were thrown out of a coffee house. We have the story at toddstearns.com. Thrown out of a coffee house simply because he's a Jew who supports Israel. That's how radical things are getting, not just in New York City, but this is happening all across America.
So if you pull out your Todd Starnes crystal ball, here's how I see it, Todd. Unless there's a revival, a genuine sweeping revival across our land, we're doomed.
Yes, we are, and that is that may be an understatement, Jeff, and I think there are a couple of reasons why. I've got a new book coming out August the 11th, and folks can pre-order it now. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. But the message in that book is, and it's sort of framed around what happened in America in the 1920s during the Roaring Twenties, when everything was going great in America. Well, guess what happened after the Golden Age? We got the Great Depression. So if we are not careful, all of the great things that Trump has advanced and forwarded could very well be undone by our own making. And I say that because when you look at what's happening across the country in these primaries, Republican vote has not happened. The Republicans are not getting out the vote. Republicans seem to be disenfranchised, demoralized, whatever reason, the Republicans are not going and voting. And if that happens in November on the midterm elections, you will have a radicalized Democrat Party running Congress, and that is a very dangerous thing for the country.
Well, yeah, it's just, I mean, we're voting for our own suicide. And yeah. Todd, I found this humorous. So this town in Michigan, the liberals all got together and they championed the Muslim candidates. And the Muslim candidates get in, and the first thing they do is cancel Pride Week, you know, Pride Month or whatever. And then the liberals are like, well, hey, well, I don't understand. It's like, yeah, you voted for that because you're too stupid to see what they stand for.
Absolutely. And again, it's so insane. We've actually had on my national show, I've invited some of the gay Republican groups on to help me understand why are these LGBT folks marching with people who literally want to throw them off of buildings? They want to kill the gays and the lesbians more than they want to kill the Christians and the Jews. I don't know if people understand in America, and I'm a strict constitutionalist, Jeff, and you get to live your life however you want to live it. Just don't force me to endorse it, and we're going to be okay. But we're all going to have to address this issue, because at the end of the day, they're coming after all of us. And by the way, one of the people who won last night, when she was at Columbia University, she was a member of a group that was known to wander around the streets of New York chanting "Death to America." Keep in mind, these are all overwhelmingly Democrat districts. So these individuals will be in the halls of Congress, people who chanted "death to America." Those are the people that could be in leadership positions if Republicans and if evangelical Christians do not get out and vote in November.
Okay, Todd, we hear a lot about, you know, during the last election, you had evangelicals for Harris, which is such an oxymoron. How can you be, you know, not that Trump and the Republican Party are the be-all end-all to every issue, but it was pretty clear what we had to choose from. And how do you make sense of somebody who claims to be a born-again believer, to follow Jesus, to follow the Bible, and yet they would vote for a pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, socialist candidate? How do you reconcile that in your mind?
My first political diagnosis would be that they're morons, Jeff. But I think you have to kind of extrapolate from there and understand these people may in fact not be believers in Jesus sure. Christ. They may be incredibly deceived, and I think that's what we're looking at here. If I could, and I don't want to get you in too much trouble here, Jeff, but I want to use my hometown Memphis as a great example. Our evangelical churches here suck, and let me explain what I mean by that. We have some major elections. As a matter of fact, we have a couple of these radical leftists that are running for Congress here. Do you realize that every predominantly black Democrat church in Memphis, Tennessee has been mobilized? They are holding town hall gatherings. They're holding debates. The parishioners are being able to ask questions of the candidates. Not one single white, predominantly white Republican church in the city of Memphis is doing anything like that. As a matter of fact, they've been silenced. And I think that's one of the big problems. I'm not saying that churches should be going out there and endorsing candidates, not at all. But we ought to be talking about the values that are important to us and asking questions about those values to the people that we are electing to Congress. The biggest problem in Memphis, Tennessee, is that white evangelical Christians, and dare I say black evangelical Christians, are sitting on their blessed assurance that they're not getting out and voting on Election Day. That's our big problem here. And every time, you know, I'll give you an example. I own a radio station, KWAM. It's the news talk radio station in Memphis. And we're getting ready to hold a debate featuring all four of the people who want to be our next congressman.
Todd, hold on 1 second, because we're up against a hard break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to Todd Starnes. We'll be right back on American Family Radio.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a preborn network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to my friend Todd Starnes. He is an award-winning journalist, a best-selling author, a radio host. Todd is a busy, busy guy. Todd, you're on the air how many hours a day?
Oh, my goodness. Geez, Lou. We do a three-hour nationally syndicated radio show. And then do a one-hour TV show for Newsmax. So they keep me pretty busy. They got to keep me away from those barbecue joints.
Okay, that was like Rush Limbaugh did 3 hours, and then he had a television show at one time. And I think he said he couldn't keep doing all that.
It is a chore. And then when you throw in book writing, which is actually my jam, you know, that's what I love doing more than anything else is writing books. And it makes for a pretty long day, but I love it. And the Lord is blessing, and, you know, we're having a good time. I love hanging out on the radio. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, you're really, really good at that. Okay, Todd, I know you know President Trump pretty well. I have never met him. I appreciate him. I appreciate the fact that he does great things, as my friend Gary Frazier says, and Rick Scarborough. You know, we like what Trump does a lot more than what Trump says, because he says some things you're like, oh, I wish he hadn't said that. But he is what he is. And to me, Donald Trump is such an enigma, because in one sense, he has the thickest skin I've ever seen. Most people would quit. That went, if you went through a tenth of what he went through, you just say, I'm out of here, I don't need this. But he doesn't ever quit. And then on the other hand, he's got such thin skin, so if anybody says something to him he doesn't like, he just goes after him. It's like killing a cockroach with a shotgun. And so how do you reconcile those things in his personality?
Yeah, no, I completely get it. And look, I can relate to the president in some aspects of that, because I get tons of hate mail. I get death threats. It's insane the amount of hate that I get. And, you know, we have to have all of our packages scanned. It's really that crazy. But, you know, it's so funny. And a lot of that stuff, I just let it. I don't pay it any mind. It's like water off a duck's back. But then, Jeff, somebody will send me something and it will just set me off, and I go full-blown Methodist on him, and I'm a Southern Baptist. So I completely understand. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying I understand that sometimes you just reach a point, a sort of a breaking point. You're like, right. All right, that's it. We're about to have a come to Jesus meet with somebody. So I understand. Look, I've had a chance to sit down many times over the past, I guess, dozen years and interview the president and spend time with him. And one of the things I just really appreciate about him is he made promises to the evangelical community. He brought our people, our leaders, into the Oval Office to seek their advice and to seek their counsel. And I really respect that because he delivered on pretty much all of the campaign promises that he made to the Christian community. And that's really remarkable because our president is really not an evangelical, so he had no allegiance to us, unlike some of our past Republican presidents who claimed to be evangelicals but did not deliver on their promises.
Okay, so Todd, when are you making plans to visit the Obama Presidential Library, that beautiful structure there in Chicago?
Well, we call it the Obama Presidential Death Star. I got to tell you, that's what is the clinical term? Butt ugly, I think, is what we call it here in Tennessee. I don't get it. I'm not a big, dystopian, brutalist architecture kind of a guy. So it's just all very strange to me, Pastor Jeff. But one of the things I find interesting, I'm more concerned about this, is why the Obamas are making it so difficult for newly married women and minorities to visit, because if you live in the Chicago area, you actually have to show a government-sponsored form of ID to actually get into the Death Star. And as we all know, that's almost next to impossible for newly married women and minorities to do, get an actual ID. At least that's what the Democrats tell us.
So, Todd, I had mentioned to you, Daryl Harrison has been on the program, and he was on just a couple of weeks ago talking about political Islam. And he said how, Islam is trying to take over, not militarily, they're trying to take over through electing these people and taking over your city, and we're the frog in the water, not realizing what's going on. But he makes the statement, he's very negative toward Barack Obama, and he said he is the linchpin for everything, for racism taking off in America. I mean, stoking the fires of that, the embers were going out, and he really brought it back. I've said many times, Obama hates America. He wanted wants to fundamentally change America. His wife said when he got elected, "This is the first time in my lifetime I've been proud of America." Well, that's quite a statement. And we see from this CNN poll that they just had that 27% of Democrats say they're proud to be an American. Well, where else do you want to go? What other country is blowing it out that you'd say, I'd like to be a citizen of that country?
You know, it's interesting. Back when I was at Fox News, I was a reporter at the time, embedded to travel with Obama on the campaign trail. This is his first run for office. And I was there when he made that announcement that he wanted to fundamentally transform America. And I'm not sure any of us really understood at the time what that meant. It was not some sort of a pithy campaign slogan. This was an overarching theme that was going to take decades to complete. And I think that we are seeing that happen before our very eyes. The idea that Obama, if you remember early on, was supposed to usher in this post-racial America, but apparently all of these white folks electing a black president made us even more racist. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to Michelle Obama in the interviews, she is so self-absorbed. And what's really troubling about her, she believes that now as a multimillionaire many times over, she is more oppressed today than she has ever been in any other time in her life. So this is, it's a troubling thing that's happening. It's going to take a very long time for us to undo this. As I write in the Golden Age, and I hope people pre-order a copy of the book, because we need to understand what is coming after the Golden Age. And the reality is, Jeff, if Donald Trump goes through his entire administration and we do not follow through on abolishing the Department of Education, we're in big trouble in this country.
Well, Todd, I think if we don't pass the SAVE Act, I don't see how our votes, we can have any confidence in our voting system, because I think it's like in California. How is that not corrupt, where you can just, well, you know, a week after the election, then we can tell you who won? That's just overflowing with corruption.
Here in Tennessee, we have to show ID to vote. As a matter of fact, the last election went down to my local place where I vote. The lady I go to church with, she said, "Todd, how are you doing? Great to see you." I said, "Thank you, doing great." She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm here to vote." She says, "I need to see your ID." I mean, it's really that simple, you know, but we do not have the problems that other states have because we mandate that you have to show an ID. And it's really something interesting, Jeff. Every newly married woman, every minority, somehow, at least in Tennessee, has an ID so they can go and vote on Election Day. And that's, you're absolutely right, Jeff. They're stealing the elections. There's no doubt about it. And that's why there is so much opposition to the Save America Act.
Okay, so why won't Thune push that through?
Well, because they hate Donald Trump. And I mean, it really has nothing to do with anything else other than their hatred of Donald Trump. You've got, you've unfortunately got five or six Republican senators. They loathe this president. They want to stop his agenda, even if it means putting elections in jeopardy. Keep in mind, many of these people are millionaires many times over. They were not before they got elected, and suddenly they become very wealthy individuals. I suspect many of those senators are beholden to the people who gave them that money, as opposed to the people who sent them to Washington in the first place.
Todd, have you gotten to meet Elon Musk?
No, I have an X account, though, if that counts. I think he retweeted me once.
I marvel at that guy. You know, people are all up in arms that on paper now he's a trillionaire. And my comment was, how does that possibly hurt you? The guy he's created these incredible businesses. He employs 170,000 people in high paying jobs. You know, his success does not hurt you in any way. If anything, it probably helps you.
But isn't that an interesting thing, though? Because there was a point in American history where you would look at Elon Musk and say, wow, how can I become a trillionaire? What path do I need to take? But now in many schools, for example, and again, this all goes back to the public schools, many schools, they're doing away with the honors program. They're doing away with any opportunities that would allow children to excel. And now they're teaching to the lowest common denominator. Mm-hmm. It is a dumbing down of our society to make them more compliant. They, you know, the socialists, they do not want people like Elon Musk to excel. They don't want that celebratory feel in America anymore. Mm-hmm. They want to dumb down people, and that's what our public schools are doing, unfortunately.
Okay, let's shift gears to Texas politics. James Tallarico going up against Ken Paxton. I saw a clip that said Tallarico, this was back in 2021 or 2022, where he said that he's a Christian who hates Christianity. What do you think that means?
That he's not a Christian. that's what I think it means. You know, far be it for me. I don't know what you folks do down in Texas. We've got our own issues here in Tennessee. But let me just say this. The guy has a problem with Christians. He thinks Jesus was pro-abortion. He's got problems with his skin color. He's trying to come to terms with his whiteness. He's trying to come to terms with his masculinity. And let me say, he still hasn't come to terms with that from what we've seen. But I think the thing that could cost him the election is the guy doesn't eat meat, and that's a big problem in the hill country, I would say. But, you know, it's interesting. I think, you know, we can laugh at people like James Tallarico, but people like him are very dangerous because they are deceiving people. And I think the guy said just a few days ago that one of his spiritual advisors was a trans queer Latinx, which I think is a Spanish woman. It's all very puzzling. But again, it's all about the deception. Here's how crazy that Tallarico story is. Even Jasmine Crockett, who lost, she was running for that Senate. Even she is not going to be campaigning for James Tallarico. And that goes back to another thing about minorities, and especially in places like the South. Traditionally, minority groups, even though they may vote Democrat, are very conservative when it comes to their faith. And they see the theology of someone like a James Tallarico, and it's immediate turnoff. It's not that they're going to vote Republican. I suspect you're going to watch many of those minority voters just stay home.
Well, that'll be good. All right, let's talk about Sunday at First Baptist Texarkana. Todd, you're going to be preaching The Man in the Arena. Give us a little preview of that.
Well, it comes from a quote from the late, great President Teddy Roosevelt, who is experiencing some sort of a revival of sorts, his presidential library opening up very soon, and President Trump's going to be there for that. It's really a call to action for the Christian community to engage the culture, to get into the arena. Instead of just complaining about stuff, let's do something to fix it. You know, we're called to be salt and light, and unfortunately, many Christians are on a sodium-free diet these days. So we're gonna have a great conversation. It's going to be a wonderful time. And some breaking news, Jeff. The good folks at First Baptist Texarkana, you're going to be the very first people in the nation to get a copy of my brand new book. It will not even be out until August 11th. But we're going to have some special copies of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America, available, and we'll be signing those after the services.
All right. We're looking forward to that. So How Trump Saved America. Some people would look at that subtitle and they would say, well, he ruined America. America's terrible now, and he's changed politics to be in the mud and all the things, you know, because of his crassness. How would you respond to those allegations?
You know, I actually write about that in the book, and that's something they've accused every president of doing. But I took a look at the policies. I stepped away from, you know, what the president had to say, and instead took a look at what the president did. And when you take a look at what this president has done, it is very clear that his policies have, in fact, saved America. From his appointments to the Supreme Court, have they been perfect? No, they have not. That's just the reality of it. But I will say that at the end of the day, and really the message of the book is not that we have reached a point, not that we have even reached the pinnacle, but that we are striving to be that shining city on a hill, something that Ronald Reagan spoke frequently about. And I wrap up the book with a great quote from a great Billy Graham singer, the George Beverly Shea, who said, at the end of the day, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold, because Jesus is what it's really all about.
Amen to that. Okay, Todd, if you had to make your prediction for the 2028 presidential election, who do you have?
Oh, geez, Luke, Pastor Jeff. I like Marco Rubio. I really do. I think the Republican Party, though, is going to be in the throes of a massive civil war, because right now, we really don't have a Republican Party. We have a populist party disguised as a Republican Party. And I think there's going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight over control of the Republican Party. I think we have to be very careful about the issue of Israel. That is going to be a major issue. I happen to be very much pro-Israel. I think that's going to be a major issue for the Republican Party as well. And again, evangelicals, will the party continue to soften its positions on the culture war issues? Yes. So again, evangelicals have a big job ahead of themselves.
Well, thank you, Todd, for being my guest. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back after the break.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff Shreve here on American Family Radio. And as is our practice, we always like to open up the phone lines in our last segment, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. 8840 if you have a question or comment. Todd had to go, and I appreciated him giving us the time that he did. He's a busy, busy guy. As he said, he's on the radio 3 hours a day, and then he has his Newsmax television program, and that's an hour. And so 4 hours a day of talking, that's a lot. I talk to pastor friends of mine, and I tell them about, I preach twice a week, and then I do the radio. And I said, the radio is every time you wake up, it's like, okay, we're on the radio. This is live radio, and I have to have something to talk about. And so it's a joy, but I would not have been able to do it, I don't believe, as a younger guy. When you get more seasoning, you have more in the tank. As a pastor, I played golf yesterday evening with a pastor friend from Louisiana, Corey, and man, he was a good golfer. Is a good golfer, but he's 38 years old, and he was asking me about the podcast, and so we were talking about it, and I was thinking to myself, because he's like, how do you have time to do all that and to prepare all that? And I said, I couldn't have done it when I was your age, because I didn't have enough, the well wasn't deep enough for something like that. But it is something that the Lord opened up, and I give him all the praise for it. And I'm very grateful for Tim Wildman asking me to do this. Well, so the number to call is 888-589-8840. Question or comment. I do want to play this one quote because I thought it was just, it's sad and it's funny all at the same time about this town in Michigan that elected these Muslim leaders. And the first thing that they did when they took power was cancel Pride Month.
They banned the Pride flag. So now you have an all-Muslim city council and mayor, and now they've taken down all the Pride flags. One of the best examples, I think, of suicidal empathy happening in real time is a town in Michigan called Hamtramck. And I believe it was the first town in the United States that authorized the Muslim call to prayer in the morning. The liberal people in that town wanted to protect Muslim rights. There was a whole bunch of people from Bangladesh and I think Armenia coming into the town. And these were the people who were very much pro LGBTQ++. So they welcomed tons of refugees into their small town, who eventually became the majority. And then what happened is you got the first mayor from this country. City council became all Muslim. It's an example of, you have to be careful of the unintended consequences of good intentions. Because what happened in that town this year is that they banned the Pride flag. So now you have an all-Muslim city council and mayor, and now they've taken down all the Pride flags. And the liberal women who were behind this whole movement are now like, what's going on? And now they're being completely rebuked. And it reminds me of communism, where the agitators and the revolutionaries are just useful idiots for the people who want to take power. And whether it's communists, people from a different country or worldview, take a look at that town. Tell me what you think about it, because I think that is a little microcosm of what could happen on a grand scale in Europe and North America if we're not sure about making sure people share our values before we put them in a position to take over.
That is so important. If you don't share our values, if you don't want to be in the melting pot, so to speak, as people that came in, we're a country of immigrants. Yeah, we were, and they came to Ellis Island, and they came seeking a new life, and they were in the melting pot. They wanted to be Americans. They didn't want to fundamentally change America into the country they came from. And that's what you have. We had this dear lady in Conroe, Texas. I'm trying to get her on the program, Dasha Kilpatrick. And she told these Muslim women, I don't know what all went on in that conversation, but she said, listen, you're not wanted here. This is America. This isn't an Islamic country. We're a Christian country, and you're not wanted here. Now, I don't think she was saying that from the standpoint of I hate you type thing. You're unwelcome here because of we hate people like you. It's not that. She was saying, you're trying to change our country. We don't want that. Go back to where you came from. If that's what you like, then go there. But that's not what they're doing. And people are voting for these folks. What did that guy call it? Suicidal empathy. You're voting for your own destruction. When you vote for a socialist, as the New York City primaries, you vote for a socialist candidate who's anti-Trump, anti-law enforcement, anti-Israel. Well, that's what you're going to get. And if you will do the homework and see, where does socialism work? Answer, nowhere. It never works. It has never worked. It can never work. It will never work. And so if you vote for that, you're voting for your own destruction, your own misery. You don't have to travel back too far to see what happened in Venezuela. It was the richest Latin American country that became the poorest. The people were leaving there as fast as they could because it was so, life was so unbearable. And that's what happens with socialism. Well, we're going to the phone lines, and we have Lindsay on the line from North Carolina. Lindsay, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I just have a quick comment concerning this Iran situation.
Yes, sir.
It's my feeling and my belief that our president should humble himself before the Lord and seek his wisdom on how to handle this situation. And, you know, along with his cabinet and all, so he won't end up like Nebuchadnezzar or Hezekiah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. I do think, you know, we're not privy necessarily to all that's going on behind the scenes. You know, Scott Turner is part of his cabinet. He's the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Scott Turner is a staff member at Prestonwood Baptist Church there in Plano. Scott Turner knows the Lord. He has a genuine personal relationship with Jesus. I think Pete Hegseth has that also. It sounds like Marco Rubio has that also. So Trump has Christians in his inner circle, and no doubt they're calling on the Lord, and we need to be doing that for him. Now, I've maintained, I didn't ask Todd this, but I don't think Trump understands what it means to be a Christian. I mean, I think he's heard the gospel. I've been told by people I know and trust, they said Franklin Graham has shared the gospel with Donald Trump. Maybe intellectually he gets it, but it hasn't penetrated his heart. And, you know, until there is a genuine humbling of his heart, as Nebuchadnezzar had, a humbling of his heart and a recognition of his sinfulness and how desperately he needs Jesus and what Jesus did for him on the cross, he's not going to understand. And that's true for any of us, for all of us. And the Bible makes it clear, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. So we need to pray for him, that God would open his eyes to truth, that God would give him wisdom, that God would see to it that our country is protected. As Todd wrote, the Golden Age, how Trump saved America. But the real emphasis of that book, reading between the lines from what Todd said, is what is going to happen afterward. You know, Trump has held the line on morality in terms of, hey, men are men and women are women, and you get men out of women's sports, and his selection to the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. He's done a lot of good things for righteous causes and the righteous stance on issues, but you know, the devil is at work, and he is the prince of the power of the air. And so we need to be praying and praying for him and praying for our country, because as Todd and I said, if there's not a sweeping revival that comes to America very quickly, I think that in 2028, everything could change. You know, our country could go into a free fall financially, which would set the stage for the rapture and for the rise of the Antichrist. And God is in control. Ultimately, he has all this timed out. Sparrow doesn't fall to the ground unless God allows it. So he is in charge, and we trust him. But I appreciate the call, Lindsay, and thank you for that encouragement to pray for President Trump. We have Tom on the line from Texas. Tom, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. And as always, your show is great, and Todd Starnes is great, too. But just a quick aside, the word empathy, I don't believe, was even in the dictionary until the late 40s.
Right.
But that being said, First Corinthians is very clear about this being foolishness to people who are non-believers, and this is all about, you know, evil, good and evil, principalities, all that kind of stuff, and people are, you know, stutter about, you know, why the American population and the politicians don't just seem to get it. Well, the reason why they don't get it is because they see the, they see the actual battle as foolishness. They don't recognize that this is a spiritual thing, and that the Muslims take it seriously. I mean, they're yes. serious as a heart attack when it comes to their faith, and right. we don't seem to be here. So that's yeah, all my comment. But
yeah, I appreciate that, Tom. I agree with you. We don't recognize, just like the people voting, they're so blind to who are you voting for? What does this person believe in? And what are they going to do when you give them power? Because you're not going to like it. The politics makes strange bedfellows. So you have the socialists getting in bed with the Islamists, and that makes for a strange combination. And the first people, when you let an Islamist get power, the first thing he's going to do is quash the socialist agenda. They don't believe in that. And the LGBTQ movement will be stampeded and destroyed if you let the Sharia law, you know, govern, because as Todd said, they take homosexuals and throw them off buildings. I mean, that is not something that they tolerate. And so these people that are voting for those that are going to kill them is just insane. You're voting for your own destruction, which is unbelievable. So I appreciate it, Tom. Thank you for that. We have Shannon on the line from Alabama. Shannon, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I just listening to your show this morning. I typically listen to satellite radio. So just hearing other you know, opinions in this, we hear this all the time. I just have a hopeful message that, you know, one day, you know, I did like the fact that you said, I believe, for the listener, that all of the administrations, it could have been your guest, you know, there's crookedness or like way behavior in every single administration. And I just hope for the day where we're all together towards what America is really about, and that is freedom for everyone. And the message that sent, you know, even with the title of the book, it's like we're not supposed to praise man. We are supposed to praise God and just put God in the front. And so I do really your message of hope and your message of what it looks like for us all to be going in the same direction and having this America be great for all of our grandchildren and all of us to thrive. And so I just saw that and I just wanted to give my my message of hope for our country, for all of us who are here and thriving and working and being for the better of this nation.
Well, thank you, Shannon. I appreciate that. You know, when I think of hope, Romans 15:13, such a great verse. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so God is the one who, all our hope is in Him, because, you know, you trust in man will always let you down, because the best of men are men still. That's just what we are. And so we put our hope and our trust in Jesus. That's why the Bible says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. I played a clip yesterday from Dr. Al Mohler, and he was talking about politics. And he said, you know, everything is political to one degree or another, because we are governed by, you know, by a structure that is set up that has people in those positions. And so we need to educate ourselves on how is this person going to represent me? What do they stand for? And politics goes away when Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom for the 1,000-year reign on the earth, the millennial kingdom, and then King Jesus, there are no more elections. And he rules with a rod of iron. He rules with perfect truth and perfect righteousness and perfect justice. And the knowledge of the Lord covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. And it's going to be such a great day. That's when the curse is removed and the desert blooms like a rose, and the love of God and the peace of God and the justice of God overflow this world. And as amazing as that's going to be, at the end of the millennial kingdom, the devil will be released from his prison and draw rebels to himself like the sand of the seashore. People who say, we do not want this man to reign over us. Unbelievable. But that's what the Bible says is going to happen. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.